This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Give us 9 minutes. We will give you macroeconomics on TikTok. Trust me, you're going to want to hear this one. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdal. It is September the 7th today, Wednesday by my calendar. Good as always to have you along, everybody. If you have been following the news of big American companies, even peripherally this year, you know that 2022 has not been kind to Target Corporation. There was the inventory glut of this spring as American consumers changed their minds about what they want to buy. Then the ensuing discounting to get rid of said inventory glut, followed shortly thereafter by the 90% drop in profits. One might reasonably say that this is a rebuilding moment for the Minneapolis-based big boxer, but the company said this morning they are going to stick with the guy who got him here, CEO Brian Cornell. Cornell is going to be around for another 3 years as Target tries to get back on track. 3 more years. The thing is, Cornell is 63, and Target's historically had a mandatory retirement age of 65. So bye-bye mandatory retirement rule at Target and elsewhere, as Marketplace's Kristen Schwab reports.
Yes, Target has had a tough year. But Jessica Ramirez, a retail analyst at Jane Hawley & Associates, says overall, Brian Cornell is a respected CEO.
He actually has been quite a visionary and brought Target out from, I think, what would have been, you know, a bit of the dark ages.
The dark ages being that whole pandemic thing. Ramirez says since Cornell joined Target in 2014, the company's invested heavily in private label products and digital integration, things that helped it excel in the last few years. And with the pandemic still affecting the industry, it may not be the best time for new leadership. Yojud Chang is a professor of business administration at the University of Virginia.
You know, if there's no reason to switch a person out, I mean, hitting a specific age can feel like a fairly arbitrary cutoff.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So why have a retirement rule in the first place?
Having a mandatory retirement age can serve as kind of a forcing mechanism. So essentially something that a board can rely upon if needed.
A rule that automatically kicks in so the board doesn't have to awkwardly say, hey, you're underperforming, you've overstayed your welcome, which can sometimes translate to, you're getting old.
There's an argument that as you get older, you become increasingly out of touch.
Michael North, a professor of management at NYU, says that kind of thinking is outdated as people live and work longer. Companies are becoming more sensitive to ageism and ditching mandatory retirement rules. Matteo Tonello is with the conference board.
They're now out of fashion, and we see an increasing number of companies that have had them and have kept them, essentially choosing to ignore them at a time when they would be triggered.
Tonello says because of that, in 2017, the conference board stopped keeping track of how many companies have mandatory CEO retirement policies. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Target shares today up 4.25%. The major indices higher as well. We'll have the details when we do the numbers. You know what's great about the monthly jobs report, the one we got last Friday? It's the economic news source that keeps on giving, just a ton of data in there. Beyond the headline, numbers of 315,000 new jobs added to the economy in August and the unemployment rate ticking up just a little bit at 3.7%. Like, for instance, here's something we didn't get to last week. Involuntary part-time workers, a.k.a. people who are employed part-time for economic reasons, a.k.a. I'd prefer a full-time gig, but I can't find one. As Marketplace's Savannah Marr reports, a bit more than 4 million Americans fit that category last month.
When we want to take the labor market's pulse, we often look at the overall unemployment rate. But that number doesn't tell us everything.
Any one measure, it has to be rather crude, right?
Cornell economist Erica Groshen used to run the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
The unemployment rate counts everybody who worked at least 1 hour during the reference week as being employed.
Even if some of those people would rather have worked a full 40 hours, but were prevented from doing so
by either the employer's inability to give them the normal amount of hours or their own inability to find a job that was full-time.
The measure of involuntary part-time employment gives us a sense of how much slack or unmet potential there is in the labor market, says Elise Gould, senior economist with the Economic Policy Institute.
When that number is lower,
like it's been for the last couple of years,
it means that there are more opportunities and fewer people are scrambling to try to get additional hours.
Gould says that's good news for workers who have lots of options and leverage. For some companies, it's a sign that staffing up for the holidays won't be easy, says Daniel Zhao, lead economist at the hiring site Glassdoor.
There are lots of jobs that go into supporting the annual holiday season, whether that's retail workers or truck drivers or warehouse workers.
Last year, almost a million seasonal and often part-time positions opened up ahead of the holidays. And this year,
we should continue to expect it to remain very difficult to hire these roles.
If involuntary part-time employment does start to tick up, Zhao says that's a leading indicator of a slowing economy. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
All right, I'm going to roll the dice here, setting up this next interview. It's about explaining macroeconomics on TikTok. And to make the conversation you're about to hear make sense, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to play you a TikTok that explains macroeconomics. Video on the radio. I know, but you got to trust me. The TikTok in question is by Kyla Scanlon, and she's talking about Jay Powell's big but very short and sweet speech a couple of weeks ago at Jackson Hole. We're going to play it now. It goes by pretty fast, so maybe turn up the volume just a little bit.
Chair Powell, the floor is yours. Please come to the podium.
Thanks. First part of my last name should be all you need to know. Pow. Pow, pow. Markets, price stability. We're going to keep on hiking. We're going to be droming these rates upwards, so stop. Price stability. It's gonna hurt. Pow pain. Price stability. More QT rates at 4%. Get ready. Price stability. We're not pivoting. We're not turning this truck around. Price stability. Fast and furious mode. Growth. Labor market. High. When things get powed, everything gets powed. Price stability. This was supposed to be a 30-minute speech, but I'm leaving it here. I'm asking you to get powed in the best way possible, all right?
I totally understand if you are saying right now, what was that? Because I did, too, the first time I saw one of Kyla's videos. But I knew as soon as I saw it that we had to get her on the show. Kyla Scanlon, welcome to the program. I am so pleased to have you on.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, look, we just played that Jay Powell speech TikTok. And before we take it apart a little bit, for those who are not familiar with you, what are you trying to do in your social feeds and in your work, too?
I'm trying to make economics education fun and accessible. That's the really simple form of it.
Which is interesting because it's really complicated stuff that you somehow get into. I think that Powell video was like 40 seconds.
Yeah. No, if you can distill it down, you've got to get to the attention span level, right? And just make it really fun. Take advantage of visuals, take advantage of script, sounds, audio, all of it. Yeah, it's a multimedia experience.
Oh, my Lord, is it a multimedia experience? I mean, honestly, the first time I saw one of your things, I think, and I tweeted this out, and you responded to me. I think what I said was, oh, my God.
That was such an exciting day for me when you tweeted that.
Well,
It was crazy.
I like discovered you somehow, and this was not a long time ago. It was like 2 months ago, and it was just, it kind of blew my mind. Can we talk about your process for a second? So with the Jay Powell thing, and knowing that what you wanted to do was get across what Powell had said, which is, in essence, there's going to be pain, but get ready for it. How did you think about putting that into 40 seconds?
Yeah, so I took advantage of his last name, and I love Jerome Powell, and I hope he's not offended by me, like, essentially cosplaying him. But
let's be clear. Sorry, let me just point out that part of your Twitter header is a picture of Jay Powell at his desk, and you have superimposed your own face on his computer monitors.
No, somebody...
if he doesn't know about you now, he will soon, because I know his folks listen to this broadcast.
Oh,
so
amazing!
I'm just saying.
Yeah, well. I'm a huge fan, Jerome, I'm a huge fan, but somebody made that image for me. I didn't do that
All right,
myself.
Okay.
Yeah, with the video, like, it was essentially like, okay, so they're going to cause pain. You know, Pow is the first part of Powell's first name. So it's kind of like the Pow, Pow, Powell. And you can sort of use that as a function for people to be like, the Fed is very, very clear that they're wanting to manage price stability and that they're willing to take on a little bit of economic pain to do that.
And in point of fact, they're gonna keep on going. Here's Drew. Let's play cut three out of this one, just so we can talk about that a little bit.
Markets, price stability. We're gonna keep on hiking. We're gonna be droming these rates upwards. So stop.
That was the louder for the people in the back. If you didn't hear me, right? I mean, because that was the deal on this whole speech. We're gonna drome.
Yeah, exactly. They're gonna drome the rates upwards. So that was the whole point of the piece, and you can sort of use like different effects in the videos, like different cuts, to sort of make that point even more clear. Like the more chaotic it is, the more that sort of conveys that message to people. Like it might be a little bit chaotic what's going to go on with the economy, you know?
Who's your target audience?
So for TikTok, it is definitely like younger investors. Like my analytics are probably like 25 to 30 are that target audience. And then for my newsletter, it's more institutional.
So talk to me about institutional. So actual professional people who you know, want more insight, right?
Right, exactly. And so I would say like there's definitely a mix of people who read the newsletter, institutional and retail investors, or people who are just interested in economics in general. What I really tried to provide with that is like a human perspective on economics. Yeah. And just like really focusing on people.
How did you come to this?
This being what I do.
This being what you do, your entire presence and look, persona, right? I mean, you've got a persona now.
Yeah, I just sort of stumbled into it. I started making TikToks when GameStop was going off, you know, mm-hmm. a year and a half ago, and just really figured out editing, like watched other creators on TikTok, figured out how they edited, and just wanted to talk about econ in a really fun way, because I feel like it's, you know, people deserve that. People deserve to sort of learn about the economy because they're a part of it. So that's the whole goal, is just like helping people walk through what they're already a part of.
On that people thing, maybe the biggest hit you had in the last number of months and maybe ever is your thoughts on a vibe session and an economy is just peopling. So give us the how you came to the vibe session thing.
Yeah, so vibe session was sort of a couple weeks in the making, where like we were having these pretty good prints on metrics, like the labor market was doing okay, industrial production was doing okay, like everything was okay-ish, but people were feeling really, really bad. So there's sort of that divergence between how people are feeling and quote unquote what they should be feeling. So the vibe session is this idea that like there's a vibe decline even though the data is okay.
What kind of response do you get when your stuff goes out?
So it depends. Like with Vibe Session, there's a lot of like really positive feedback, a little bit of that I wasn't taking things seriously, you know, which I really try to. So yeah, I would say like most of the time people who are trying to learn about economics are like really receptive to it. And then I feel like because I am able to talk about stuff in like a really casual way, like hopefully a really mm-hmm. accessible way, people are able to have fun with finance, which they should because it's so goofy. So I think that's like people learn from it, hopefully. And then they also have fun with me, which is like also a huge goal of mine. Yeah,
fun and finance are not two words to go together,
but
I will tell you, your style makes it fun. I will definitely say that. I want to go back to the TikTok thing here for a second. Drew, hit cut number five for me, would you?
This was supposed to be a 30-minute speech, but I'm leaving it here. I'm asking you to get powered in the best way possible. All right.
I love your Jay Powell impersonation, right? You've got the slightly altered speech. You put a pair of glasses on and pull them down your nose. And obviously, people should go look at this. Did you know when that speech hit at like 8 minutes and 51 seconds in length that you were just going to bang it out and make a point of him being that short?
I was so excited that it was that short.
As were we all, Kyla. As were we all.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. Right. Like, I was like, yes, I can knock a video out soon because it takes a while to edit, you know? And so, yeah, no, I figured, like, you know, he just wanted to get one point across and he was going to use as little time as possible to do that. So that's what I tried to do in the video, too. So, yeah, I definitely was going to hit on that.
We should get the social media handles out here because people should follow you. Twitter is at Kyla Scan. I think TikTok's the same thing, right?
Yeah. So Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all are at Kyla Scan.
Right.
And then my newsletter is kyla.substack.com.
Yeah. Give her a follow. How long does it take you to do these things?
Oh, it depends. I would say from script to post, it's probably, you know, 5 hours or so.
That's not nothing.
No, I've gotten a lot better. I can probably do it in like 3 hours now. It just takes a little bit of time sometimes, like with research. Yeah. So yeah, it's like a muscle. Like when my very, very first TikTok video took me like 12 hours to edit it. So I've gotten a lot faster. Yeah. Yeah.
We should talk about your style for a minute. It's, I think rapid fire is fair. It's a little jump cutty. It's, you got to pay attention, even though it's 40 seconds. I mean, you kind of bang through a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you're battling the algorithm. You're battling attention spans. So a lot of people complain about how fast it is, but people have found value in watching it twice or three times. So the whole goal is like how succinctly can you explain things in 60 seconds and still have like big takeaways at the end? So that's why it does go so fast. So like when I edit, I see the audio waves and I cut out space between the audio waves. So it's like very intentionally fast.
So let me just say, as an audio professional, cutting out the space between the audio waves is not encouraged in public radio. Might I just say?
No, it's
might
probably,
I just say?
It's probably not a good thing to do. But yeah, you know, you want as many eyes on it as possible. And people's brains are, you know, melting as they listen to it, trying to keep
a little
up.
Bit, yeah. Little bit, right?
Yeah. Bit. That's the goal.
I should tell you, I've had more than one person tell me that Marketplace ought to hire you.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying. I have no power around here, but if HR is listening, that's, you know, that's not a bad social media hire. Her name is Kyla Scanlon. You can find her on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Substack as well. She also does this professionally. She's founded a company about financial education. It's called Bread. Give her a follow. Definitely worth it. Kyla, thanks a bunch.
Yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Coming up.
I don't regret leaving Pennsylvania.
Well, all right then. But first, let's do the numbers. Dow Industrials up 435 points today, 1.4%, ended at 31,581. The NASDAQ gained 246 points, about 2.1%, 11,791. The S&P 500 up 71 points, 1.8%, closed at 39.79. Twitter improved 6.6% today as a Delaware court rejected Elon Musk's request to back out of a $44 billion deal to buy the company. Perhaps you heard of that one. Musk will, however, be allowed to add claims from a Twitter whistleblower to his countersuit. Bond prices were up. That means the yield falls. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 3.26%. You're listening to Marketplace. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team has won the World Cup. Sorry, just checking here. Hang on. Yeah, they've won it four times. The U.S. Men's National Soccer Team has won the World Cup zero times. Did not even need to check that one. But I mention it because it took until yesterday and a lawsuit for the U.S. Soccer Federation to sign new contracts with each side, guaranteeing that they will be paid equally. I should say here that the men's team has been fully supportive of their female colleagues. Under the new deal, men and women will have the same pay structure for appearances and for tournament games. And even though World Cup prize money is still way less for women overall, the two teams agree to pool their winnings to even things out. In an economy where organized labor is having its moments, well, this is one of them. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
They may not have been champion soccer stars, but city workers in San Jose, California, made their mark in 1981 when they held a strike that was a major milestone in the fight for gender pay equity.
They were able to really essentially vote with their feet and say, we're going to withhold our work. And that was what moved the needle there.
Dahlia Thornton with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees says the action resulted in $1.5 million of pay increases, largely for women workers. While the law protects against many forms of discrimination, she says being in a union gives workers more power to do something about it.
You're part of something that is bigger than you. You're part of a group of workers who come together.
Of course, unions in the U.S. weren't always inclusive, says William Spriggs, an economist at Howard University and the AFL-CIO. But today, he says, union membership confers the biggest pay advantages to women, Black and Latino workers.
In settings where rules are clear and the playing field is level, then there's not as much room to discriminate.
According to federal data, union membership reduces the gender pay gap by 40%. Emily Martin is with the National Women's Law Center.
When you're a member of a union, your pay is controlled by a collective bargaining agreement. There's transparency around how pay is set and what people make.
And she says union members tend to have better benefits, like paid leave, that make it easier for women to stay in the workforce and increase their earnings over time. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
About a year ago, we did a roundtable with some people who'd been part of what came to be called the Great Resignation. Shauna Cruz is one of the tens of millions of people who, over the past couple of years, have decided to leave their jobs and go looking for success and, maybe more relevant, happiness doing something else. Back in the before times, Shauna co-owned a cycling studio in Pennsylvania, but come the pandemic, she picked up her family, moved cross-country to Mesa, Arizona, and started her own business working as an esthetician. Here is her update after a year in the Southwest.
When the pandemic hit, it stopped everything. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was a co-owner of Cycle Bar Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was a kind of a time that we had known we had that itch to go back out west. And we saw this as our sign that this is time. It's time for your family to go back home, back to your roots. The experience of moving cross country right in the heart of the pandemic, so June 2020, was a hot mess of state regulations. It was sticky, even selling one home in Pennsylvania and buying another one in Arizona. Just with, you know, if inspectors were allowed in the house to do anything, if something needed to be fixed, it depended on if that business was considered essential. I chose to be an esthetician at the ripe old age of 42 at the time because I'd been in beauty. I'd been a makeup artist for about 20 years, but I'd also obviously worked in fitness, and I loved making people feel happy and healthy and beautiful. And so it just seemed very natural actually to go into something where I was, you know, really literally face to face with helping people feel their very best. And I also felt like it was something I could do on my own
that I wouldn't be so dictated by government or city regulations ever again, which was really important to me, that I would learn from what happened during the pandemic to small business gyms. It's been a mix of building up my business and building up my clientele and my craft of being an esthetician and lash artist. It's been a mix of trying to decide if I wanted to be out in a spa or in a medi spa, or if I wanted to do a small micro spa at home, which I ended up deciding to kind of do both. And I love that split. But then it's also been intermingled with buying homes, buying real estate, flipping, and those, you know, completely renovating these sometimes huge properties. My kids love Arizona. We love it here, and they've excelled here. And I would have thought from that gloomy and rainy, dark Pennsylvania that they, you know, I didn't know how they would do with just such a totally cultural different change here, but they've loved it. I don't regret leaving Pennsylvania, but I appreciate the lessons I learned there.
Shawna Cruz getting by in Mesa, Arizona. This final note on the way out today might have escaped your notice. I'll understand if it did, that today is Beige Book Day, the 8 times a year report from all the regional Federal Reserve banks about how things are going. Lots of great anecdata in there, and here are just a couple of items. From the Dallas Fed, this in agriculture, quote, severe drought and higher feed costs have prompted significant culling of cattle herds. Supply and demand is the rule you're looking for there. Out of the Richmond Fed, this under the heading Ports and Transportation, respondents indicated that there was expanding truckload capacity with spot rates down 30% since spring, which is good. And finally, from Minneapolis, a note that in southern Minnesota, distilleries, wineries, and restaurants are banging right now. That's a quote, official Fed economic language, banging. And I should say, I do know a really good brewery up in the Twin Cities. And we are out of here with this moment of economic context. A quick energy item, crude oil today, the U.S. benchmark West Texas, down 5%, $81.78 a barrel today at the close in New York. Our media production team includes Brian Allison, Jake Cherry, Drew Jostad, Gary O'Keefe, Jeff Peters, Charlton Thorpe, Juan Carlos Torrado, and Becca Weinman. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. This is APM. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.